WAER Sports proudly presents the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
Goalpost goes down for just the seventh time in program history. Syracuse football has secured a top 10 win in the Dome.
Freeman straight away elevates and slams. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Freeman is here in the 315.
And it's misery at the hands of Maryland. Syracuse, with its closest shot at a championship in over a decade, gets sent home.
Hearing from a host of guests.
Super excited to welcome back onto the podcast the voice of Syracuse men's lacrosse, Tim Leonard.
Now, Jason Benetti, voice of the Detroit Tigers.
And providing all the hot takes.
If Syracuse beats Miami, there are no questions. This program is headed in the right direction. Fran Brown is the leader of the future.
These are guys that can make impacts on day one. You're going to see that presence. That just when Syracuse in the past, when you look at their offensive line and defensive line, they were undersized in committing penalties. Now, they might still commit penalties. Who knows? But at least you know they're not going to be undersized.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, and it starts right now.
Welcome into the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. AJ Byers alongside just Josh Rother today, talking that Syracuse men's basketball game that took place last night. We're recording this Friday morning. The Orange escaped, once again, escaping a non-Power 4 team, 71-63. But before we get into all that and some women's basketball, Josh, it is finals week on the Hill. We were talking about it before we started recording. It is a daunting time. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. You know, it's the final stretch. You know, everything is getting ironed out to end the semester. The final projects have certainly been kicking my butt a little bit here lately. But regardless, you know, we're here and, you know, Syracuse men's basketball is here and, you know, life is good, you know?
Certainly. I don't know how good it was last night for Syracuse men's basketball. There's unfortunately no Griffin today. He's back on the injured list under the weather. No flu game for Griffin. We'll bring that up with him next week when we will be hopefully talking with a good guest as well. But spinning things now to this basketball team, as I mentioned, they get by St. Joseph's 71-63. And this is a St. Joseph team that what is like 200 and something in the net. I think it's like 214. So, you know, it should have been an easy game. They haven't played well at all this season, really. And I don't know, Josh, whatever it is, you know, Adrian Autry, and I think this was even a thing with Jim Boeheim at times, but against smaller teams, Syracuse makes it interesting. They don't play well. I think this is definitely going to be a circling in the realm of, oh, making excuses, this and that. But the 9 o'clock start is just ridiculous, especially when Syracuse is in the middle of lake effect snow. There's a, you know, weather alert. It's terrible weather. So already, you know, a 7 o'clock tip, you're looking at a thinner crowd. But then you make this thing at 9 o'clock. Nobody is going to come to this game, and not even students. I mean, we're students, and we know plenty of people that are like, "Oh no, I don't want to walk out in the snow," and it's totally valid. So the dome was dead. There was no atmosphere whatsoever, and that certainly played a role because I mean, those first 5 minutes looked awful for the Orange.
Yeah, I mean, you said it right there. The 9 o'clock tip. I mean, we saw at the start of the season, we were going to have 4 9 p.m. Yep. tips for this Orange team. And, you know, you wondered how that was really going to go. They, obviously, they're doing the late tip because of, you know, they're trying to play on national TV. But it doesn't really matter because when they get the 9 o'clock game and they get to play on national TV for more money, they look like garbage. You know, I mean, yep. They come out like did they sleep in all day? You know, the 9 p.m. games so far, we've seen Monmouth and we've seen St. Joseph's. And both efforts have been completely lackluster. You know, like you said it right there, you know, Adrian Autry said after the game, you know, we didn't play with level 5 energy. It's hard to inject energy into a team that needs some fan support when there's absolutely no one there. I mean, you said it right there. The snow has an impact. The finals have an impact. The late tip-off has an impact. Those are three factors that are definitely not going to boost any success for this team that looks to lean on playing in such a loud place.
No, it certainly won't. And it also, you know, Adrian Autry, I give him credit. He admitted that. He's like, yeah, you know, these 2 9 o'clock tips, we haven't played well. This was another example of it. And really, the only really reason that I've come to why Syracuse even won this game, It was just down to which offense was going to perform worse. I mean, St. Joseph shot 19% from three. They just made 5 3-pointers and 26 that they attempted. And then from the field, they shot 36%. So it really came down to which team was going to perform worse from the offensive end. And St. Joseph's, they were one of the best, they were the best free throw shooting team in the country at a high 80%. They didn't shoot that well from the line at all, 18 of 27. And, of course, Syracuse didn't shoot that much better, 15 of 28. That
I don't
continues to be a
understand. It's
problem.
awful. It's
But
a new
again,
person every week.
it really is. And credit to William Kyle. I think once again, he was probably the best player on the floor. My guy, he's been the best player this season. I don't think you could make an argument for anyone else. I mean, maybe Nate Kings, maybe Tyler Betsey. Tyler Betsey, finally gave this team an offensive explosion. I say that lightly because he was the only guy that eventually hit shots towards the end of
I mean,
that
I
first
wouldn't.
half.
I don't know if I'd say finally. He's over double figures in four of his last five games. I mean, the Vegas games were, he was obviously tasked with a larger role. Donnie Freeman still has not played over those last five games. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to look at this team, and especially last night, they had five guys in double figures, Kyle, Betsy, Kings, George, and Starling. But they're really, AJ, when I look at this team, with Donnie Freeman out, there really hasn't been a new number one. Donnie Freeman, 17 points
William
per
Kyle.
game. I mean, William
I know
Kyle,
that's not his
if you
role
want,
though. He's
I
not, he
know,
shouldn't
but
be
like
option
if
one.
you look at this roster, Ky and Anthony by games played is the default leading scorer on this team, and he's averaging just 10 points a game on 40% shooting and 20% from three and 55% from the line.
Hit one
Is that
shot
real?
last night.
Is that yeah? Is that really what we want to see out of the secondary options on this team? I mean, I hate to bring it up, but wouldn't Chris Bell be a great player on this year's team? He's averaging 15 points out of Cal right now, and he shoots the ball 40% from beyond the arc. I mean, this is exactly what the team is missing. They shot the three ball well last night, but if you're looking at someone that could fill the void of, that secondary score, I mean, there's a lot of guys who have done it, but there hasn't been one.
I think Chris Bell needed the change of scenery. That's why he
Sure.
is performing the way he is right now. And again, I look at the veteran players on this team too. I mean, Nick King's. He's had good stretches. He had a good, decent game again today, 5 of 8, 14 points, but you would expect more consistency. And then I look at JJ Starling. He's got to do more. Like, he really has to do more. He just doesn't impact games. He doesn't put his footprint down enough. There's moments where it's like, oh, here comes JJ Starling. He's getting to the cup. He's driving inside. He's aggressive on the offensive end. And there are other times where he just kind of bypasses him and the offense doesn't go through him and it doesn't move through him. And it's like, what is happening? What's the game plan with JJ Starling? And you'd think by, year three at Syracuse, senior year for him, year four, that he'd know how to operate, in a game, and he'd know how to get his, 15 points each night or something of that nature. And Josh, he just simply can't do that. I mean, he barely got to 11 points tonight, and it was off of not making a three and, just kind of getting a few layups here and there.
I wasn't like you said, I wasn't really impressed with what JJ Starling did offensively. But one thing that head coach Adrian Autry did highlight, and I think you can key this back into, his veteran leadership on this team as, a multiple year player, which, like we said, there's only two of them on this team right now. Unless you want to count the juicing station captain.
No.
He did bring in four rebounds last night, which, four rebounds, four rebounds. There wasn't a lot of rebounding last night. Syracuse lost
No.
the rebounding battle by 10 to a team they're much bigger than, and that included 14 offensive rebounds for St. Joseph's. And when you look at, what you want to do to win games, rebounding is certainly one of them. And when you have a team like Hofstra, who's sneakily been one of the better rebounding teams in the country this year, they just beat Pitt and they out-rebounded Pitt in that win. They were even with them actually in the rebounding battle. But that's a game where if you get out-rebounded by a team, this is a team much better than St. Joseph's in my opinion. I mean, they beat an ACC team. If you get out-rebounded by them, that's a serious chance that you get upset. And then you throw in the fact that they can't make a free throw. I mean, these are two big issues that, we're a third of the way through the season. I think some of these issues should be more than figured out by now.
It certainly should be, and I think there's a fair point. Maybe the team's worst defensive display. Well, outside
Yeah.
of Vegas, you know, like I know
Yeah, I
that
mean,
Iowa
Iowa
State
State
lit
second
them up,
half, yeah, you're not going to come
but
close to
like
that again
in
the rest
terms
of the
of just
year.
a whole game,
Yeah.
it just the defensive intensity wasn't there. And again, I put that on the atmosphere. I know that's kind of a, you know, a BS excuse in a way, like, oh, that shouldn't matter, but it was hard for these guys to
Yeah.
really feel like this was a meaningful game when there was nobody there. And
Agreed.
again, I'm not blaming the fan base. I don't blame them. Like, it's snowy weather. Hell, I probably wouldn't have showed after the game if I was in Syracuse at the time. And you know, Adrian Autry even said the juicing station wasn't there either. I got to be honest, I'm kind of sick of him, you know, bringing that up. I feel like he's bringing it up a little bit too much,
Yeah,
as if it's
that level five
really,
energy.
yeah, as if it's really deciding games. Like, all right, like I get it
It's like,
can,
why'd you win? The juicing station was good.
yeah.
Why'd you lose? We didn't have level five energy. Like, my goodness.
Like, yeah, like I think we need a little bit more X's and O's, and it goes
Yeah.
to your point with the offense. It's just, it's like, what is the offense? And at times, the most effective offense really has just been throwing it up to William Kyle. You know,
Yeah.
lob it up to William Kyle. He'll get it. He'll throw it down. And that's, again, credit to William Kyle. Credit to bringing him in. I think he has far and away been this team's best player this season. I mean, every game he is, you know, basically the leading scorer. He's almost right there. You know, he's not going to knock down a three, so that's why he won't be the leading scorer, but he's consistently getting double digit points, and then he'll get double digit rebounds, and then another game with four blocks. Like, you
Yeah.
don't get much better than that.
No, absolutely. I mean, William Kyle was probably one of the more overlooked players
Yeah.
that Adrian Autry brought in. I mean, you looked at his numbers last year and you're like, he's really bringing this guy in to be the starting center. 39% from the free throw line, 2 points, two rebounds over at UCLA. And this is the guy they're going to trust with the keys to the center position this year. But I mean, he has come in and he's put his head down. He's gone to work and he's done a fantastic job. I mean, last night you would say, oh, you know, William Kyle shoots nine free throws and only takes four field goals. Okay, he'll probably make three of those field goals and then he'll miss seven of the nine free throws. He'll probably have 5, 6 points. Well, he puts in six of nine free throws. And there was a time during the game he made his first five free throws. And we were like, wow, what did William Kyle eat this morning? I mean, this guy
Yeah.
is off the rails right now. I mean, William Kyle shoots six of nine from the line, and Syracuse still misses 13 free throws. I mean, that's just kind of how the season has gone. But I mean, William Kyle, like you said, this guy is he has been the best player on this team when he's on the floor this year, and you know that's a great sign for when Kyan Anthony starts to get back into his rhythm and JJ Starling hopefully turns the corner and you get Donnie Freeman back. You know, William Kyle can kind of slide back into the role he was at the start of the year and hopefully still be just as productive.
Certainly, and you know, you bring up the free throw shooting thing. That already has, you know, that cost him a game in Vegas. I think they could have beat Houston if they knocked the free throws down. And if it continues to be a game, it's going to cost a problem. It's going to cost them a ton more games, close games in ACC play. Wanted to bring up Nathan George. You know, he's been talked about a lot, I think, throughout the press. Some people are kind of frustrated with how he's playing. I don't think he's playing bad. I do think there is concern because you look at it, you know, his time at Georgia Tech, there were games where he got 11, 12, 10 assists, and he would get it pretty frequently. He's yet to do that, but I don't think he's playing poorly, and I still am pretty concrete certain that he's an upgrade, you know, from what anything Syracuse had at the point last year, Josh. I mean, 4-6 shooting, that's pretty good. He knocked down both free throws. Yes, only three assists, but also three steals. Like, I don't know what the criticism really is. He isn't balling out, but I don't think he's playing poorly.
No, I just maybe if you're gonna be a box score warrior, I think you just have to chalk up the fact that this game was not really like a heavy ball movement game. I feel like they were
No.
kind of going to the rack and getting to the line more than they normally do. I mean, I feel like there was a lot of inside feeds into William Kyle in this game, and I think, you know, the guards in general were not really trying to, you know, set up screen plays to get open looks. They only shot 14 threes in this game. Normally, when you see, you know, the point guards with the assists, it's either going to be in fast break or it's going to be, you know, open space on a three pointer. And I think that's where Nathan George has excelled this year is, you know, finding William Kyle lobs on fast break. But, you know, I've been impressed with Nate George. I mean, he's averaging five assists per game. He had three steals last night. So he's been good defensively. I wish he would rebound the ball a little bit more. I mean, Adrian Autry brought it up in the presser. He wants more rebounds from his guards. And, you know, Nate George only two rebounds last night. But other than that, I mean, I really don't get why Nate George is getting a lot of hate. Like you said, he's an upgrade from Jaquan Carlos. I mean, for complaining about Nate George, I mean, they can go watch the lowlights of last year's team outside of Jaquan Carlos, crazy buzzer beater. But you know, Nate George, I mean, he's been good.
Yeah, certainly. And Donnie Freeman coming back should also help his game a little bit more too, because he'll have, a consistent offensive threat to feed the ball into. And this team, I mean, Donnie Freeman would have made a big difference tonight. I think he could have gotten 30 points if he was out on the floor tonight, especially because he's the one guy you can re I mean, Wayne Pyle's great from the free throw line, but he's the one guy you can definitely try. I mean, he had a game. I think it was the Mercer's game where he went 12 of 13 from the line. So, he's going to be a big get when they get him back. They should get him back soon. He warmed up today, which is something he hasn't done since his mysterious injury. That Griffin's, I don't know if you saw in that Mercer's game, Griffin is gung-ho that he saw him limping. I didn't see him limping, but that's either here nor there. It doesn't really matter. He is hurt. He should be back hopefully soon.
Yeah,
If,
was it the Mercyhurst or the Monmouth? I think it was the
or
Monmouth
it was
game.
Monmouth. It was
Monmouth. Yeah,
Monmouth.
I think there was a time where there was either a fast break or something. Something happened. I saw him kind of limp back on defense a little bit, like gingerly. I obviously didn't think much of it. I just figured maybe he, you know, had a stinger or whatever, and he was just kind of trying to, you know, work it off. But I mean, AJ, it is kind of concerning that, you know, this guy spends more time off the court than on the court. Through his 2 seasons, he's playing less games than he's missed. I mean, let's just call it what it is. The best ability is availability, and when Donnie Freeman can't give the orange minutes, you know, that's a problem.
No, it certainly is. And you hope that he can stay in good health the remainder of the season. Hopefully they get him back maybe right before that Clemson game. You don't want that first game back to be against a really good Clemson side. And of course, it'll be key for Syracuse to start off ACC play strong. But before that, like we've been mentioning, they've had these like five, should win games, no problem. If there was going to be a problem in one, you didn't think it was going to be St. Joseph's. Lo and behold, it was Hofstra. That was the one where, everyone's like, oh, they're actually a decent team. This is a quad three opportunity for Syracuse. So not quad four, like all the other four games are, like St. Joseph's was. This is quad three. It's quad two for Hofstra. Josh, you brought it up briefly. They already knocked off Pitt. Now, Pitt isn't that great. This isn't a good Pitt squad like it has been in years past, but they're 94 in the net. Syracuse is, I think, 71 or 76, something in that.
They're actually 81 as of right
Oh,
now.
they're 81. Okay. So they were, they're close. These are two good teams. Hofstra is going to be, prime for an at-large bid, maybe, or, they'll obviously, get in if they win their conference, of course. They did just beat old Westbury Panthers
Oh
by
yeah.
92 to 92 to 23.
Saw that.
So holy smokes. So they can put up a lot of points. They're a squad. They're a one of those classic, tough, gritty, not power four teams that can cause, I mean, any team can cause Syracuse problems under Adrian Armstrong. That's just been the fact. But I'll be honest, Josh, I'm a little worried for Saturday. And it's concerning because it's Hofstra and this team 9, 10 days ago, as we're recording this, knocked off Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, shout out the Skyline Conference of SUNY Old Westbury. I mean, they put up a valiant fight in that game. Definitely some cupcake schedule making from Hofstra's athletic office over there. Just trying to juice up those statistics before they come and play Syracuse. No, I think it's a genuine concern. I mean, where this team is at, coming off a big win, the momentum kind of dried out. I mean, everyone was like, Syracuse is back. Let's rush the floor. We
You could
just
have
beat a
used it the
top
Saturday
15
game after
team.
Tennessee.
I mean, they completely regressed the following game. I mean, it's like, well, the momentum's dried out. You know, I don't have much confidence that we can beat Hofstra handily anymore. You know, it's going to be a grind to win the game. I mean, the net ranking doesn't lie. Hofstra's a good team, and Syracuse, you know, has underperformed to some extent in these non-conference games. Yeah, you know, they were solid at the start of the year, but I mean, the Monmouth and the St. Joseph's game, it just feels like it kills all that energy, and especially when you have a team that's already beat an ACC opponent this year. You know, what makes you think they're not going to do it again? So I think there's really a really important focus. Syracuse needs to get out to a good lead here in the first half, or they could risk dropping a quad three game, which would just tarnish, you know, the season so far, and would really make it hard for Syracuse to get a bid to the NCAA tournament at the end of the year.
Absolutely. And especially because as of right now, the Tennessee game has dropped a quad two. That could, of course,
Yes.
probably will change unless the Volunteers have a really poor season, which now you're kind of hoping they don't. You know, they're hoping they actually have a really good season,
Yeah.
so that stays quad one. Of course, there will be, you know, more opportunities in ACC play to grab quad one wins. But you got to handle business against Hofstra, regardless of how supposedly good they are, which they are good. It's not like it's a, you know, some like theory out here. But they got to handle business. It's that simple. And it's concerning that, you know, me and you, Josh, we both think it's going to be a tight game. And I think the biggest key ultimately for Syracuse is defense. You know, if they have a good defensive game, that can really just kind of cover up all the other issues they have on the offensive end.
Yeah, I really want to. I'm going to look at mainly the main thing I'll be watching for is, you know, Coach Autry had a, you know, a kind of a shorter and, you know, it didn't give much. Like you said, I mean, a lot of coach speak, a lot of juicing station in his presser
Yes,
last night. And I
that's
just like,
Adrian Autry.
I want to hear more about what he thinks about this team. But, you know, the main thing I'm going to be watching for in this game is, will they actually rebound and will the guards actually rebound? Because I think it's a very important rebounding is often overlooked, but I think it's one of the more important things. If Hofstra gets 14 second chances on offense, Hofstra will win the game tomorrow. So Syracuse has to primarily focus on blocking out and getting all five guys in there in the paint on defense. You know, I really don't think this is a game that needs to be won in transition. You know, Hofstra's shown that they're great. They can put up 93 points on Old Westbury. You know, Syracuse doesn't need to focus on that. I think that the primary focus, defensive, hard work on defense, boxing out, getting rebounds, and I think the rest will set itself up. I mean, we got guys that are due to perform. JJ Starling is due for a breakout game. Nate George is due for, you know, a 12.8 assist game. I think we'll see hopefully some positive signs tomorrow in the Dome.
But yeah, especially JJ Starling. If he could get a good game, that would certainly bring a lot of confidence back to some fans, including me, that are, you know, I'm disappointed. What have we seen from Starling so far this season? There's been no disappointment, though, for Syracuse women's basketball. Felicia Leggett-Jack has really assembled a strong team this year. They blew out Colgate, who, I mean, they're not a good team, but I mean, they made the Raiders look really bad. 88-42 Wednesday night. Colgate can only put up 5 points in the first quarter, and just another really complete performance from this team. I was happy to see Sophie Burrows finally hit some three. She knocked down three tonight, but it continues to just be those new players that they brought in. Layla Filia, I know she didn't have a great game shooting, but still a strong display from her. And the depth, I mean, everyone on this roster played minutes, obviously, in a blowout game. And no matter who, you know, who was checking in, it was just the good times just kept rolling for this team. And 9-1, I know, you know, some games have been, you know, layups like Colgate, but these are complete blowout performances, something that you're not seeing from the men's team.
No, and I think it really is a testament to what Felicia Leggett-Jack did in the offseason. There was a lot of chatter last year about this squad in general. I mean, they had a lot of kind of confusion with who was going to break out the next year, and there was a lot of concern about the point guard position mainly. And you know, Shai Hawkins was a freshman last year. She didn't get much of a go at it. And, you know, Layla Filia transfers in. And I feel like this team is really solid. I mean, the guard play has just kind of excited the rest of the team in general. And I was hoping Shai Hawkins got some run in the starting lineup. And, you know, sure enough, she started last night, or 2 nights ago against Colgate, and she did a good job. She posted 8 points. She had five rebounds. You know, Filia, you know, not a great game, but like you said it, when you have depth on this squad, everyone can come in and contribute. And they did exactly that. They didn't even play a perfect game. I mean, they still turned the ball over 15 times. They still shot 56% from the free throw line, and they still won the game by 46 points. I mean, AJ, we're looking at a top four team in the ACC. You know, they got a couple more non-conference games before we get to see them in action, but I think you have to be feeling really good about where the squad is. Just that one bad quarter against Michigan, who's a top five, top 10
Yeah.
team in the country. I mean, this could be a team that wins 24, 25 games and is a top five, top six seed in March Madness.
Yeah, and the ACC is tough, especially for women's basketball. There are a lot of tough games come conference time, but This is the kind of wins you didn't see last year in the non-conference slate. So credit to what FLJ has assembled this season. This team is looking like a lot more depth, a lot better depth, and a lot better scoring leaders on the offensive end as well. They got Binghamton on Tuesday at 7 p.m. at home. After that, it's Mercyhurst, and then ACC play gets rolling after Christmas on December 28th at home against Duke. So a tough way to begin the conference slate, but it'll be interesting to see how this team performs come
Yeah,
conference time.
Duke is battle tested. They've played one of the hardest non-conference slates. They had three matchups against top five teams in a row, and they kind of got spanked around there, but they're definitely going to be prepared for that Syracuse game with that immensely tough strength of schedule.
Certainly. And now all the attention will turn to Saturday. Again, we recorded this Friday morning. We give you the full recap of what we thought of that St. Joe's game. I'm sure everyone can have the same similar frustrations. This team just not yet clicking for Adrian Autry. This one game, it looks great against Tennessee, but then in the next, and I just kind of thought that, right when the game started, I saw the dome empty, and it's just like, this is going to be a close, 5, 8 point game, and it's going to come down to free throws at the end, and it's going to be St. Joe's is going to be calling timeouts, this and that, and Josh, that's exactly what played out. But we'll see how the team plays against what is a good Hofstra team, as we spoke about that. That is a Saturday tip-off at 4 p.m. That means WAER's coverage gets going at 3:30 with McClurg remodeling countdown to tip-off, and then tune in the double overtime. Even though it is the winter, winter break on the Hill, there's still double overtimes. WAER still has full, complete coverage. The double overtime is all the way up until 8 p.m. So you're going to want to tune in to that one. Get your thoughts heard on what hopefully is a bounce back win for Syracuse after what was a disappointing result against St. Joseph's. A win is a win, but not the kind of impressive stuff that you want to see. Be sure to listen back to previous episodes of the Ostrom Avenue podcast, wherever you get your pods or at WAER.org. We got plenty of interviews from the football season if you want to go listen back to that stuff. I don't know why you would, but there were some good conversations we had on what was an abysmal football season. We did mention recruiting in our last episode, so maybe be sure to tune into that one and the things happening with the football team. But it's full basketball mode now. We'll get plenty of interviews, plenty of fun guests once conference play gets going. There's plenty of great people to talk to within the ACC. It's an interesting ACC. People don't want to give it its praise, give it its flowers, because maybe it isn't the SEC or Big Ten, but it's still a good conference, and it's still a conference that Syracuse needs to play better in, because they simply have not in years past, and that's why they have not been playing deep into March. That'll do it for this episode. For AJ Myers and Josh Rothert, we'll see you next time on the Ostrom Avenue podcast. Again, be sure to listen to wherever you get your pods or at WAER.org. But until then, we'll see you after this Hofstra game.